Firstly, this is the first time I've got to preach since I've been a father. And I'd have to say, Sarah, that Jed is probably the best gift that you have given me. And I say this because Sarah has not always given me very good presents. Yeah, that's right. I remember, I think it was our first Christmas, Sarah? I think it was our first Christmas. And we both wanted to get each other something special. Well, I did anyway. And so I remember thinking, what is something, you know, special that maybe she wouldn't buy for herself, but something I can treat her with and all that sort of thing. And I hate shopping in Melbourne, especially Christmas time, because there are millions of people running around. They're pushy and they're in a, you know, everything is busy and you can't get any good sales advice, all that sort of thing. It's horrible, absolutely horrible. Can't get a car park. You know, we went at High Point Shopping Centre, that was close to where we used to live. You could literally be driving around for an hour trying to find a car park. It's chaos, absolute chaos. But I, because I loved Sarah so much, I went through all the effort and I researched. I wanted to buy her a digital camera. And so I researched, like, all on the internet, what was the best camera. I went to all the camera shops all over Melbourne trying to find the best deal so that I could get her the best one. Wrapped it up nicely. And then I was going to Adelaide for Christmas. So a few days before Christmas, we caught up to exchange gifts. And I was so excited to give her her present. Anyway, Sarah had told me that I was going to love what she had got me. She was wrong. Yeah, she thought it was funny. Anyway, so I got all these presents. I remember opening up the first one. Socks. And she started giggling. I thought, oh, okay. And I thought, the next one, this will be the right one. Jocks. Oh, hilarious. Not at all. Next one. Socks, jocks, socks, jocks. Oh, and he got socks and jocks. And then she's like, oh, what'd you get me? And I sort of gave her this present, which was probably worth like $1,000 more than what she spent. Not at all. I didn't have anywhere near that much money. But I gave her this present, and I don't know if it was because she felt guilty or if this was all just part of her joke. But a few days after I got back, well, actually, it was probably the day I got back from Adelaide, she said, James, come over. I've got your real Christmas present. I'll show you what it was. I hid it over here. Here we go. A surfboard. Here we go. She bought me a surfboard, which is worth tons more than what this camera was worth. Let me just put it up here. I won't get it out because it's sandy and there's wax on it, all that sort of thing. But she bought me a surfboard. Oh, that is so good. Because, you know, I hate getting that stuff that is just the everyday run-of-the-mill stuff. Do you know what I mean? It just bores me. If I wanted that, I can go to the shop and get it for myself. But a surfboard, I'd been saving up and now she bought it for me. Beauty. So, I got my surfboard. And this reminds me of what Paul is talking about here in chapter 3, in the first bit of chapter 4. See, let's have a look at the next slide. Thanks. Is this in the way? Let me get it down. Okay. So, we're doing this true identity series through Ephesians. And week 1 and 2 is what I'm calling the bare essentials. It's for you. So, everyone say, for me. For me. So, week 1 is that you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The second one is that you are a citizen of heaven with power and authority. Okay, so both these things are for you, and they're much better than socks and jocks. Much better. Okay, but these are the bare essentials. Now, this week, we can go to the next slide now. There's something extra. But this something extra isn't for you. There's something extra is for others. You know, throughout the whole entire scripture, we are reminded that we are blessed to blessed, or sorry, Abraham, or Abram when he was called, in Genesis chapter 12, God said, Abram, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless the nations of the world. Okay? You are blessed to bless. I think in 2 Corinthians, God is talking through Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's saying that with the same comfort that God has comforted you with, go and comfort other people. You are comforted to comfort others. The Salvation Army, we're really big on you are saved to save. You know, if you look throughout all of, you know, the historical writings and all that sort of thing, you'll see that there was this big emphasis. Now that you're saved, it's now your job to go and lead others to the Lord. I think that's the first time of many times that my son will interrupt my preaching. Just getting restless. That's okay. So save to save. Commissioner Nags, when he was around, he used to say that we are loved to love. Okay, so there's this whole thing that because God has given you something, because God has shared something with you, you now have to go and share it with other people. And so this week, the title of our identity, our true identity for this week, is that you are a minister of the gospel. So turn to the person next to you and say, you are a minister of the gospel. Then say, I am. Put your hand up. Everyone put your hand up and say, I am a minister of the gospel. Okay, now in the Salvation Army, we're a little bit unique to some of the churches out there, because the only real difference between a soldier and an officer is availability. That's pretty much the only difference, apart from some of the legal things and all that. But really, the only difference is that I don't have any other work apart from doing this corps officer business, and that frees me up. So I'm, I guess, more available than some others. When you're a soldier, you might have other work. You know, you've got other things in your life that you know that you can do. You don't just have to be a soldier. You can be an adherent or just a friend of the corps. Okay, but the availability is the main difference. So if the general called me up and said, James, I want you in London tomorrow morning, well, I just have to go because that's my availability. I'm available. That's my job. That's what I've signed up for as an officer. As a soldier, though, you probably get 2 weeks. Give your job 2 weeks' notice and all that sort of thing before you say, yes, General, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's basically the difference, okay? The difference isn't that we've got some magical superpowers. No, because God has gifted every single one of us to be a minister of the gospel, every one of you. And you guys have just said, I am a minister of the gospel. You know, Alan, one of the things I love about you, and I remember one time when we were here and there was someone upset in the thrift shop, and I remember you sitting them down and you grabbed their hands and you prayed for peace, that God would give them peace. He hardly prayed a thing. He said, Lord, you know, you might know what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, but Lord, I pray that you would give this person peace. And he just sat there. And by the end, this lady had peace because God had answered Alan's prayer. Now, was Alan's prayer any different to mine because he has blue epaulets and I have red? Or because he has blue epaulets and you don't have epaulets? Not at all, because it's God. It's Jesus living in you. We are all ministers of the gospel, but we're not all the same. We're not all the same. So let's read Ephesians chapter... Go back one slide. There we go. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. We'll go over this again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So every single one of us is a minister of the gospel for the building up of the church. And it lists a couple of different job descriptions. So we're just going to quickly go through these job descriptions, which come from a guy called Alan Hirsch. He's an Aussie mission guy, and he's just explained what they are. But he's also explained what would sort of happen if we were all just one of these professions. And it will highlight why we all need to have our own job, and we're all different. So here we go. Apostles, they extend the gospel. As the sent ones, they ensure that the faith is transmitted from one context to another and from one generation to the next. They are always thinking about the future, bridging barriers, establishing the church in new contexts, developing leaders, networking translocally. I got to meet an apostle who lives in China. He's a New Zealand guy. And the way that he worked, he would go from town to town and he would preach the gospel. He would disciple one leader, and after about a year, he would leave. And that disciple was now the leader of that church. And he just went from town to village to village to village, and then he'd come back. That's an apostle. In Australia, or in the Western context, it might mean someone starting up a group of believers at the pub, or at the high school, or maybe it's an outreach to younger people. But an apostle is someone who takes the gospel from one context to another. They're sort of like missionaries, and they start new things up. That's an apostle. But says, yes, if you focus solely on initiating new ideas and rapid expansion, you can leave people and organizations wounded. The shepherding and teaching functions are needed to ensure people are cared for rather than simply used. Okay? So if we were all like that, if we were all just going out, starting new different things, and there was no one to sort of care for the people, it would sort of fall away, wouldn't it? It would always be very exciting. And I think I fit into this sometimes. So I always like the new things. But if there weren't there people there to sort of follow up and follow through, it would just die. So let's go to the next one. Prophets. What do? Prophets know God's will. They are particularly attuned to God and his truth for today. They bring correction and challenge the dominant assumptions we inherit from the culture. They insist that the community obey what God has commanded. They question the status quo. Do you know some people like that, that just keep saying, oh, it's not good enough, you know? Or, you know, we really need to be reaching out to these people, or we really need to change this in our worship, or, you know, we really need to pray this way or go this certain direction. They're the prophets. They're the ones that hear from God and sense something within their spirit of the ways that God wants to move in this place. They're the prophets. And it says, but without the other types of leaders in place, prophets can become belligerent activists, or paradoxically, they can disengage from the imperfection of reality and become otherworldly. They just get sick and tired of it and they walk away because they're frustrated. They can see what needs to change, but they're the ones that, you know, they point it out, but they're not always the ones that actually make the change. They're like the mouthpiece that God uses. So if they don't have the people around them, they're either going to get very frustrated or very bitter, or both. Okay, and it's not a good mix. But we need the prophets because we need to know what God is saying and where he is leading us. Let's go to the next one. Evangelists, they recruit. These infectious communicators of the gospel message recruit others to the cause. They call for a personal response to God's redemption in Christ and also draw believers to engage the wider mission, growing the church. Okay, so these are the guys that lead people to the Lord. They speak to people who are not yet Christians, tell them the gospel, give them an opportunity to become a Christian, and people do. They're great like that. That's their job. They're great at that. But what it says, evangelists can be so focused on reaching those outside of the church that maturing and strengthening those inside the church are neglected. Okay, same sort of thing with the apostles. If all of us were just out there leading people to the Lord, and there was no one discipling them or caring for them or teaching them how to be a Christian, once they actually became a Christian, the whole thing would collapse, wouldn't it? It would just collapse. So we need the evangelists. Next one. Shepherds. They nurture and protect. They are caregivers of the community. They focus on the protective and spiritual maturity of God's flock, cultivating a loving and spiritually mature network of relationships, making and developing disciples. Shepherds can value... Oh, sorry, I'll stop there. So shepherds, they care for people. We all like being looked after, don't we? If we're sick or if we're going through a tough time, we like people to come alongside us and to encourage us, to lift us up. But if we were all like that, it says that shepherds can value stability to the detriment of the mission. So imagine if a prophet was coming and saying, hey, we need to go get the people out there saved. And you had a pastor, they would be like, oh, no, I'll just look after these people here. You can already see how it grates. They may also foster an unhealthy dependence between the church and themselves. So what's that saying? Is sometimes they can be so wound up in caring for people themselves that they actually forget that God is the one that should be caring for them as well. And so it sort of turns into this whole works righteousness. It's all about what I do, my work. But we need shepherds because we need people to care for us, don't we? Let's go to the last one, teachers. They understand and explain. They are communicators of God's truth and wisdom. They help others remain biblically grounded to better discern God's will, guiding others towards wisdom, helping the community remain faithful to Christ's word, and constructing a transferable doctrine. Okay, so teachers are the ones that translate the Bible into words that we can actually understand. They're the ones that maybe we're at Bible study and they're leading the Bible study. They're the ones that are teaching you and helping you to understand what it all means. And it says, without the input of other functions, teachers can fall into dogmatism or dry intellectualism. Have you ever known someone like that? It's all about what they know, but you never see any fruit in their hearts or the way they live. It all just becomes a head thing. It's not good. They may fail to see the personal or missional aspects of the church's ministry. So if it's all about the head, all about study, it can be to the detriment of actually applying it. It can be to the detriment of that. But we need teachers, don't we? So let's go to the next slide. We are ministers of the gospel. Every single one of us is a minister of the gospel. We need all five of those, and you are at least one of them. Sometimes God will make you one for your whole life, and it's just clear that that's who you are. Other times you might slip in and slip out and go to a couple of them, or, you know. But the point is that God has gifted you with something special, something extra. You know, we are so blessed, aren't we, already for ourselves. But now God is saying, I'm going to give you something extra, not for yourself, but for others. You know, often we talk about how it's hard to minister to other people. But this is saying that God is giving us a gift. He's giving you a gift. He is giving you, I guess, one of these job roles. And I would love it if all of us could work out which one of them we are. And just a word of warning as well, because sometimes, let's just say we're a teacher. That doesn't excuse us from caring for other people like a pastor would. And it doesn't excuse us from telling other people about Jesus. But what it does mean is that that's really where you're suited. That's where you're going to be the most fruitful and effective. If you're in one of those roles and you're not gifted for it, it's not going to work. If we are all one of those types or two of those types, this core will not work. It just won't. We need all five of these all the time. You see, it's not just about what the core officers can deliver or what the leadership team can deliver. It's about what every single one of us here can deliver as a whole. And as we do that, we will grow, because it won't just be one or two people evangelizing. It won't just be one or two people teaching. There'll be groups of us doing all sorts of different things, working together. So this morning, we're going to sing a song, Come Holy Spirit, Fall Afresh on Me. And this is a gift from the Holy Spirit that He wants to give you. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to get this surfboard out the way. I'm going to ask you to respond. And I want you to come down the front and ask God, which one of those is me? Which one of those is me? If you're on the core leadership team, well, half of them are in the band. but leaders, if you are free, I would love it if as people come down, you come and pray with them as well. Okay? And I really encourage you, everyone in this core, you are a minister of the gospel. So this morning, let's ask God, what do you want me to do? What sort of role do you want me in? And then as we pray, we're going to say, Holy Spirit, empower them, gift them, so that they can do this the best way that you want them to. All right, so how about we all stand? I'll pray, and then I invite you to come down the front here. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have blessed us so much. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We thank you that you have given us power and authority. You have given us everything we need for life and godliness. But Lord, all that's for us. That makes us feel good. And so this morning, we turn our attention to you once again and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for others? What do you want to gift me for so that I can help others? Holy Spirit, we pray that as you fall upon us fresh this morning, Lord, that you would reveal to us gifts and talents that we didn't even know we had. Lord, I pray that you would reveal the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers. Reveal them to us, Lord. Show us who we are in you. Show us our true identity. Lord, I pray for those who will hear from you but will reject it because they feel like it doesn't fit. Lord, I pray that you would just remind us that this is not something of just who we are. This is something of who you make us. Like you said to the fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. Lord, I pray that you will make us, that you will make us afresh this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Speak to us, Lord.